This is the word of God from the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. You can find that on page 56 of the Pew Bibles. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. God blesses his word, and he blesses us when we hear it.
Please join with me in prayer. Father, we ask that you would go before us, revealing to us your word, revealing to us your truth. Be present here in such a way that we can say that we experienced you in your presence this morning. Speak through your word in such a way that we as your people are formed and shaped for your purposes, shaped for your glory. Speak through me this morning, Father, that the foolishness of my tongue would not take away from your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In our sermon series, we've been going through the book of Exodus, and in the series we've seen how God has been revealing himself to his people. This revelation began when the people were in bondage and continues now that the people are in the wilderness and at the mountain of Sinai. A revelation that continues in God's as God gives the people his law. It's a law that reveals God's character to his people, that reveals himself to his people. God is revealing his character, and specifically to his people, how they were to live as his people. It's something God designed, that as his creation, as his created beings, he has designed a purpose for us and how we should live. Today we turn in this revelation to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. You know, this is the first of the Ten Commandments that deals primarily with the horizontal relationship that we experience with one another. Verse 4 commandments were primarily devoted to the vertical relationship, our relationship with God. In the first, God commanded there is only one God, and we are to not put anything ahead of him. And the reason we put nothing else ahead of him, nothing else is worthy of that position. In the second, God tells us that we need to worship him appropriately. Do not limit him by the imaginations of humans. God has already placed his image in us. We are his image bearers. Worship him. In the third, God tells us to respect his name. We are to use it appropriately, claim it with thoughtfulness, and carry it with attentiveness. In the fourth, God explains we are to devote a day to him. That in devoting a day to him, we are imitating his act and his work, seen and evidenced in creation. Now, in the fifth commandment, our relationship with God should be demonstrated in the types of relationships we have with one another. Specifically, that relationship enjoyed between children and parent. Children, honor your father and mother. What does it mean to honor? The topic should be primary in our thoughts. Honor. How do you honor? Should be primary in our thoughts because tomorrow is a day of honoring. It's Memorial Day. A day set apart to honor those who have died defending our nation in the way of life we enjoy. You know, if we took the observance of this holiday as some sort of indicator for the definition that the word honor means, it might mean barbecue. It might mean throw a party. It might be go on a vacation or go camping. But these words do not evidence what honor means. They don't acknowledge or describe the reason the day was set apart. Rather, Memorial Day is set apart for respecting those who paid the greatest of prices for our freedom. Today, set aside to respect the living and the dead who have fought for us. Remembrance demonstrated by the decoration of headstones. The esteem that is shown to present and past military personnel. Honor that is reflected in the observance of the national moment of silence. Yes, a part of setting the day aside, there was a national moment of silence at 3 p.m. local standard time. You are supposed to be silent, remembering those who paid the greatest of debts for the freedoms we enjoy. But how does this work for honoring our parents? When you die, Mom, Dad, I'm going to put a flag on your grave. I'll have a moment of silence for you. If you look up the word honor in the Oxford English Dictionary, it defines it as high respect or great esteem. I don't know about you, but that doesn't help me. I say it doesn't help me because it just sends me on another wild goose chase, because in trying to define words that are abstract, they use abstract words. Now I need to go figure out what respect means and esteem means, and how do I go about portraying this? There seems to be no concrete, nothing concrete in trying to define the term honor. You know, we think we would know if someone were disrespectful. That we could define that, or maybe even put that in a category, and we could even put an act in a category of respectful. But how do you define it? How do you know if an action is respectful? How do you know if someone's giving honor? The Hebrew word for honor is kabod. And the word kabod has its roots in a word meaning to be heavy or to give weight. We might ask ourselves, how does this describe honor? How does this form our thinking about this word? And the answer is easy if you remember that finances in the Old Testament were not about dollars and cents, but about weight. That prices were paid in weight. If you turn to Genesis 23... we can see this because in Genesis 23, Abraham has been with Sarah, and now Sarah has died, and he has no burial plot for Sarah. And he was negotiating a price for a burial plot so he could bury his wife. And one of the people in the land says, well, you can have this piece of property for 400 shekels of silver. And the narrative says that Abraham weighed out the price. He didn't pull out his checkbook to write out a check. He weighed out the price. In this sense, to honor is to place high value upon. To place great weight upon. A heavy weight. When the Hebrews used the word kabod, they were saying that this person, to me, is worth a great weight. When you read that Genesis 23 account, it becomes clear that that 400 shekels of silver that Abraham paid for this field was well overpriced. But because Sarah was worth so much to Abraham, he was willing to pay that price. And in so doing, he honored Sarah. Thus, one who is honored is one whom great value is placed. But again, how do you measure that weight? How do you demonstrate that weight that you put on your parents to honor your mother and father? How do you demonstrate this respect? To help the definition of honor, it may be summed up in two images. Images that come to us from Arlington National Cemetery. The first is the persistent guard that is placed before the tomb of the unknown soldier. I don't know how many of you have gotten to go and visit Arlington National Cemetery. I don't know how many of you have stood there watching these guards pace back and forth and then remained for the ceremony of the changing of the guard. If you look, their uniforms are spotless. Their shoes are shined to perfection. And then when the changing of the guard comes, there's a scrupulous, meticulous inspection. But it goes beyond the uniform. Because when you understand what these guards go through, their character is examined. They can't just have a perfect uniform. They also have to have a perfect character. The price these guards pay to guard this tomb of this unknown soldier is high. Because these unknown soldiers, great honor, great weight is placed upon them. The guards' language is chaste. They're not allowed to swear. They can't use foul language. To do so would have them removed from their position. Furthermore, in their guarding, they are not to they're to be silent, showing their reverence. Their life is chaste. Their words, to use the words of the Apostle Paul, it's a life above reproach. See, throughout the entirety of their life, they are to carry on themselves the weight of having honored these great men who have died for our country. These great women who have died for our country, yet who are unknown. The high value of these dead is honored in the price these guards pay in their conduct. A second image of honor that comes to us from Arlington National Cemetery is the eternal flame that burns at the grave of John F. Kennedy. Ever burning, casting light, drawing the attention of those who pass by. Flickers on and on. In that sense, it's a reminder that this former president is not forgotten. These two images should help lead us into understanding what honoring our mother and father is about. God is commanding his people to place high value on their parents, on their father, and their mother. It's the first commandment that represents our conduct between one another. And I find that it's interesting that it is a command that comes even before any thoughts about the sanctity or faithfulness of marriage. You might think that that's a higher priority or would stand first, but I think there's a purpose for this being the first of our relationship commandments with one another. See, we learn honor when we're young. We learn what respect is from our parents. There is little possibility of a person honoring their spouse if they have not learned to first respect their parents. To first respect authority. Jenny Ortland posed the question, what child can respect his spouse or her spouse if they never learned how to respect, how respect is supposed to work within the home? Husbands, how can you learn to respect your wife if you have not learned what respect is? Wives, I pose the same question to you. The relationship between child and parent is the first relationship that children experience, that we all experience. It is with this relationship that children learn how to live. It is within this relationship that children learn how to be integrated within society. It is this relationship that teaches us how to grow into maturity. We can see some of this from Deuteronomy. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible, and in it, Moses is reiterating all the main, he's hitting all the main points of the first five books. He's trying to, well, it's been called Moses' swan song. He reminds the people where they came from. He reminds them who they were and who they now are. He reminds them of the law and how they need to live. Moses, in these couple of days before he dies, is taking this last moment to reiterate to the people, this is how you live as God's people. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses repeated the Ten Commandments. He said, don't forget these. These are important. Don't forget them. Learn them and observe them, Moses tells the people in verse 1 of chapter 5. And then in the closing of chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, Moses says this, so you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. This is what observance means. And it sounds exactly like the promise that God gives to the people in Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, I think sometimes we think of this as in a corporate sense. That if the kids aren't honoring their parents corporately, the land is going to be taken from them. But I think it also happens in an individual sense. Children, when your mom and dad say, look both directions before you cross the street, if you disregard this teaching, your days in this land will not be very long. Honor your parents by respecting what they have taught you. Don't just hear it and remember it. You must do it. You must observe these commandments. And that is one of the ways we honor our parents, children. It's by respecting what your parents have taught you and have said. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses commands the parents to teach the children. Well, the only way the children can follow what God's law is if they're taught the law. They can't follow it otherwise. And so, parents, you have the responsibility of teaching children. To teach them the statutes and ordinances of God. In Deuteronomy 6, 7, we read this. You shall teach them diligently, speaking of the law of God's commandments to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Parents, you are to be teaching your children, instructing them. Your children cannot observe God's law if you are not giving them the law. If the children spurn the parents' authority in teaching, in this teaching, if the child spurned the parents' teaching, the people as a whole, corporately, would also suffer. But see, that's only if they disregarded God's law. If they honored this law, if they honored their parents and their parents' teaching of the law, then their days in the land that God was giving them, would be long. Thus, we need to understand that the fifth commandment is, first of all, speaking to parents. Teach your kids to honor you. Solomon says, or the saying goes, spare the rod, spoil the child. And Solomon is given the responsibility of having coined this when in Proverbs 13:24 he wrote, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. As parents, we are told to, no, commanded, to teach our children how to honor our authority. Parents, teach your kids how to honor you. Discipline them appropriately. If they disregard your teaching, if they disregard what you have told them, discipline them. Make sure they understand, because your instruction is going to be so much easier than an eternal instruction of how they should have lived this life. The Puritan said a child should be the parent's echo. When the father speaks, the child should echo back with obedience. The Puritans, I would say, were wise in this truth, but they missed an important point. They missed the mother's voice as well. It's not just children honor your father, but children honor your father and your mother. Both of them have authority over you. Both of them have responsibility to teach you. You know what this tells me? That mothers and fathers, we need to get together and be talking about our instruction. We need to be on the same page. I think there's a little bit of this that says for the reason why we should not be unequally yoked in our marriages. Because your instruction as a child of God is going to be drastically different than someone who is not. Be communicating so that your instruction to your children matches. It's the parents' responsibility to teach the children. Deuteronomy 6 goes on, though. Verses 10 through 12, we read, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. And then we're going to jump to verse 20. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. I find it interesting that the people to whom Moses is addressing this are not the individuals who were brought out of Egypt. The people are on the verge of entering into the promised land, and Moses is speaking to the people, and the first time the people were on the verge of entering the land, the people grumbled, and God said, every one of this generation, 20 years old and over, are not going to get to enter into this kingdom. They are going to die in the wilderness. And the people wandered in the wilderness, led by God through the wilderness for 40 years. So now that the people are now on the verge, Moses is saying to the children of those who were brought out, don't forget your parents, the ones whom God brought out. They forgot, and look at what happened to them. They did not get to enter into the kingdom. Don't make the same mistake. You have an object example before you. Your parents, their graves. You don't forget. The instruction is to be handed down. And that instruction should come from our parents. If you are now in this place, one of the reasons you can give honor to your parents, if they brought you into this place, if your parents have raised you up in a home to fear God, that is one of the reasons that you give honor to your parents. Because they first and foremost taught you the fear of the Lord. But that does not cover everyone. Some of us were not brought into this place by our parents, but came after we were out from under their instruction. Parents are to teach the children. And the children are to honor this teaching, this instruction, by honoring their parents and doing what their parents command. See, there is nothing about whether or not the parent is honorable. There's no condition. Some of you can give glory to God that you had honorable parents who taught you the fear of the Lord, but some of you are in a different category. Some of you honor parents even when they might not have been honorable. And in this we can grasp some of that understanding from the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier. It's interesting that it's an unknown soldier and we are giving such high honor to them. Those soldiers honored there. Their honor is due, not because they deserved it, because we don't know if they deserved it. We don't know if their character warranted it. Their honor is due because they were a soldier. Their honor is due because they represented the United States, and their honor is due them because they died in this duty. Nothing else qualifies this soldier for this honor. Children, nothing qualifies your parents for your honor. Their very qualification for this honor is that they are your parents. In good and in bad. Value them. For you younger ones, listen to what your parents say. For us older ones, take time to thank them. Thank them for the instruction they gave you. Thank them for leading you in the way they led you, for giving you what they gave you. Thank them for their hard work. See, there's no limitation to this honoring. It's an honoring that keeps on going, and when we follow in their instruction, we are continuing to honor them, even if they are gone. Honor your father and your mother. this honor. It is a teaching us about authority. When you get into the New Testament and the apostles are talking about and bringing up this this passage and this commandment again of children, honor your parents, it is usually in a list of commands for individuals as Christians to live under authority. In submitting to your parents, in honoring their authority, in honoring them, you are learning about authority to teach you how to live in society. See, that's another reason that this relationship is so important. It's because in this parent-child relationship, you are learning how to live in society and how to give proper respect to the authority placed above you. Paul says, submit to those in authority over you. It's interesting when he was writing this that he was writing it to Christians who were in the Roman Empire under Caesar Nero. A Caesar who was persecuting Christians. The horrors of which are beyond repeating at times. Honor those in authority. See, we learn this instruction when we honor our parents. Even Jesus, the Son of God, lived out this commandment perfectly. It's interesting that here's the Son of God, the word by which all things came into existence, without which nothing would be that is. And in Luke 2, we read these words of the incarnate Christ. He, speaking of Jesus, went down with them, speaking of his parents, and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. That Jesus, as the incarnate Christ, God incarnate, he came and he came in subjection to parents. And he honored them, those whom should have been bowing in honor to him. And I say he did this perfectly because at the end of his earthly life, in Luke 19, I said Luke, I meant John, excuse me. In John 19, he's on the cross. He's being crucified. And there in verse 25 it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus the Son saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. See, a child's responsibility for honoring mother and father was to, well, we get out of it in this day and age. We don't necessarily take care of our elderly parents. They're often put in a retirement home and visited on special occasions. But in biblical times, you raised up your children, and then in your old age, you lived in their home and they took care of you. That Mary, watching her son be crucified, was not going to have that person whom was supposed to be caring for her in her old age. And Jesus, being the perfect son, made sure she was cared for the entirety of her life. But he wasn't just the perfect son of earthly parents. He was the perfect son of God, who in eternity before time came up with a plan of creation and a plan for salvation. John, 1 John 4:10, this apostle, he writes, "In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." See, Jesus wasn't just the perfect son of Mary and the perfect son of Joseph. He was the perfect son of God, perfect in character. And he was sent by the Father, his Father, Father God, in the plan for the propitiation of our sins. See, this is what Paul writes about that act in Philippians 2:8. He, speaking of Jesus the incarnate, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That there was a point, Jesus was a perfect son of God, and he lived through that, but that perfection was going to be tested to the nth degree, because he was following the plan of God to its entirety. And that plan called for him to die, to be the propitiation for our sins, to die that perfect death for the sins of all creation. For the first time in all of eternity, Jesus was going to feel what it was to be rejected by that in which he was triunely present. And he was going to experience the wrath of God like no one had ever experienced it, because when we die, we experience the wrath for our own sins. But Jesus was taking upon himself the wrath of all humanity. So it says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, that he was going to experience this obedience, this following the will of God perfectly. He follows it perfectly for us. Because we aren't perfect children. We do not honor our parents perfectly. And if you ever question that, just remember the times when you were 5 and 6 and 7. Remember when you were a teenager. See, this whole idea of this teenage rebellion, I don't think that was God's plan. Children, you are to learn to honor your parents when you are young so that you can live through your teenage years. You can go on and look, and the command was actually, if an individual did not honor his parents, if an individual cursed his parents, he was to be taken outside the camp and stoned. See, in this, the honoring of our parents is like that light. Because teenagers and children, if you're honoring your parents, the world's going to see. Do you know how proud I am when my kids go to their friend's house and the friend's parents say to me, "What a well-behaved son you have"? I take pride in that. It's humbling, too, that somewhere in all my mistakes, my children have learned something from me. It's a light. Teenagers, when you are not rebelling against your parents but honoring their authority, even when you don't agree with it, but doing it for the sheer sake that they are it's my mother, it's my father, you are going to be a light to the world, to your friends. Why do you do this? That doesn't seem fair. I do it because they are my mother, my father. Older individuals, when we take on the care of our parents, demonstrating this honor, and we don't put them aside, but we include them in. Maybe that means getting a house that's large enough that we can support them and give them space to be in so that we can care for them. It's going to be a light to the world. Because there's going to be our parents' friends and neighbors that are going to say, "I wish my kids were doing that for me, instead of putting me over here." Can't always happen that way. We don't always behave appropriately. But we do have that one who did. That in Christ, when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, we take his perfect obedience into our lives, and that righteousness is clothed on us for his glory. Please join with me in prayer. Father God, this commandment is an indictment against me. For not honoring my parents in the way that they should be honored. For not always respecting their authority. For rebelling against it. Please forgive me. But if we're honest, we all feel this indictment. So we ask that you would forgive us. That you would be teaching us to honor our fathers and our mother in such a way as it would be a light to the world. That you would use this light to lead those in darkness to yourself. Thank you for Christ's propitiation for our sin. Amen.